Good evening, this is Tom Riffrith with my weekly postcard on the 19th of July. Being in London last week afforded me the opportunity to go and see a dramatic performance by my daughter. Not a school thing, a drama workshop thing. There were a series of performances. It goes without saying, my daughter was absolutely wonderful. I'm afraid the rest of it rather left me feeling rather angry. Apparently this place gets a subsidy, a grant. The good news is it's being cut. We're treated to a succession of performances extolling the virtues of feminism and equal rights for women, the dangers of global warming and other threats to the environment, the evils of capitalism, and finally also the benefits of uncontrolled immigration with welfare and handouts for those who come. It was, needless to say, excruciating. My father got to see it a bit later on in the week and called me to say that he also found it pretty toe-curling. He, of course, is forced to read The Guardian by my stepmother and is ostentatiously a deluded lefty, but there's an old reactionary at the heart of him and he knew it was all nonsense. He did say that in a utilitarian sense, he got some pleasure from it. That is to say, whilst he found it excruciating, he knew that I would have found it even more excruciating and found that rather delightful. How right he was. I'm glad to have given him some pleasure. I'm sure that most of the folks behind the production, if not in the audience, will be voting enthusiastically for Jeremy Corbyn in the Labour leadership contest. I have suggested that this blog also backs Corbyn. And I think, you know, if you want to invest £3 in joining the Labour Party in order that you can back Jeremy Corbyn, I wouldn't discourage you. There is no doubt the man is completely unelectable. He is a bearded nutter who has shaken hands and warmly embraced every terrorist on this planet, Hamas, the IRA, take your pick. Jeremy is their pal. His views on capitalism, bad thing, soaking the rich or indeed the middle class, smashing entrepreneurs, they are well known. He supports global warming, he supported CND. He has, in short, been wrong on every single issue for his entire political life. The bearded old fool will no doubt be wildly popular in places like Islington and Hackney and other parts of central London. But outside of London, he is completely unelectable. The Labour Party under Corbyn would do worse than it did under Michael Foot, whose views are actually relatively moderate compared to those of Corbyn. And Foot was actually quite a decent old stick anyway. But he once stayed with my father when he was giving a lecture, that is Foot, at Warwick University on some classical issue. Foot was a classicist, and he was very nice to the cat at the time, who molested him in the bed. So for that, I always decide Michael Foot, decent old fellow, although pretty mad and deluded on most issues. I digress slightly. Under Labour, under Corbyn, Labour would be completely unelectable. In a sense, that is a good thing. I happen to think the Tories are in a very strong position to win the next election anyway. The Boundary Commission review, which should have taken place before the last election, but was sunk by the evil Liberal Democrats, means that the Tories gain a net 20-odd seats anyway, largely from Labour. So they actually go into the election with a pretty stonking majority. The Scottish Nationalists are showing themselves to be a loathsome and repellent bunch. And that's certainly how they're perceived by folks in England. And north of the border, they are hero-worshipped. Therefore, in the next election, there will still be a very strong case for saying, if you vote Labour, you get the Scottish Nationalists in charge, which obviously would be disastrous. And therefore, they have a very strong hand in that sense. If the Tories are really lucky, the Scots Nats will be so unpleasant and so loathsome and so awkward and so determined to meddle in English affairs, as they showed last week over fox hunting, despite a manifesto commitment not to meddle in English affairs, that there will be only one solution, which is independence for Scotland. And if that happens, the Tories really are a shoo-in for perennial rule. With Corbyn, They would be a shoo-in leading Labour. The way they would be a shoo-in full stop. Now, in one sense, this is obviously good news. No one in their right mind, my good wife excepted, wants to see a Labour government return to power, whoever's in charge of it. They are simply anti-capitalist and illiberal in their views on many things. They would be disastrous for the economy and for the country. We don't want them. The danger is that if Labour becomes completely unelectable, that is to say, it chooses Corbyn as leader, the Tories will show a degree of arrogance and they will backtrack on certain measures. And I fear we've seen signs of this already. There's a very good piece by Douglas Carswell, the former Tory, now UKIP sole MP, in, I think it is the Mail on Sunday, on the way the Tories are trying to roll back on the Freedom of Information Act. The Freedom of Information Act, it can be a right old pain for people. It's certainly a pain for government because it has allowed people to expose a number of issues. The paedophile scandals, papers have come forward showing basically how Cyril Smith and others were protected. Issues on MPs' expenses, MPs' outside interests. All of these things have only come to light because of the Freedom of Information Act. It is a very good thing. Government deserves to be held to scrutiny and held to account. You cannot expect MPs to do that since they loyally toe the party whip, too busy fiddling their expenses, etc. And therefore, it is largely down to the press in one of its rare moments of seeking independence, or more importantly, private citizens, to hold the government to account. And the Freedom of Information Act is a very good way for this to happen. The Tories, I fear, show already showing signs of arrogance, a complacency, a conviction that they are going to win the next election, and that perhaps after the next election, Scotland will indeed bugger off, and therefore they'll win every election. And one of those signs is their desire to repeal the Freedom of Information Act. Another sign, arguably, is the way that David Cameron has finally fessed up and said British pilots are already involved in missions over Syria. Syria is a country where, you may remember, we said that that man Assad was a bad fellow and we should support the rebels. We've now decided that since most of the rebels are complete nutters, with the exception, of course, of the heroic Kurds, and we are effectively bombing the rebels and helping Assad. That is what the West is doing. It appears that British pilots in their aging airplanes have already been involved in such missions, and the government has done so without exposing itself to open debate in the House of Commons. Again, I feel this is a sign of a Conservative Party that is growing already arrogant. A final sign is the way that George Osborne effectively ended the career of Martin Weakley, the useless chocolate teapot in charge of the FCA. It is said that he got rid of Mr. Weakley because he was too tough on banks and the banksters. Au contraire, he was not. It is quite clear that across a number of banks in the City of London, there have been wholesale criminal activities, LIBOR rigging being the most prominent. In other areas in which the FCA is meant to investigate, obviously the area I know most about is white collar fraud on AIM, it has done nothing. In terms of the banks, it has tried to do some things, but it has not succeeded in sending a whole load of crooked banksters to prison. Because it is not corporations that commit fraud, it is individuals. And the culture in the City of London is very much that individuals will push things to the boundary and earn huge bonuses from it. If things go wrong, the corporation pays a fine and regards that as a cost of doing business. Regulation has failed in terms of dealing with errant banksters, just as it has failed in terms of dealing with white-collar crime. But the banksters still complain, and it looks to me as if George Osborne has taken the side of big business traditionally the supporters of the Conservative Party rather than small investors, ordinary individuals, in getting rid of Mr. Wheatley. To me, Mr. Wheatley should have been sacked, and it should be made public that he's been sacked for not being tough enough on either individual banksters or on white-collar fraud on the stock market. But that's not the case. It is clear that George Osborne will put in someone who is even more pliant, even more amenable to the demands of the big financial institutions and corporations. That is hardly a good sign for the ordinary person in the street. All of this makes me think the Tories are already convinced that they will win the next election, and probably, when Scotland buggers off, elections for many years to come. And that gives me a reservation about saying one should vote for Corbyn for leader, one should join the Labour Party and ensure that it is completely unelectable. Only if the Tories feel they face a realistic, serious challenge from Labour will there be any controls, restraint shown on their part in terms of not acting in an illiberal way, in terms of freedom of information, not acting in coordination with the big corporations, the FCA, and not acting in an aggressive, illegal war type way in terms of Syria. There are worrying signs there. I would rather have a government that felt there were some checks on it. Increasingly, as Labour look determined to commit electoral suicide, I don't think that will be the case. Naturally, I am on the right. I don't want Labour in power, but I'd rather they were less pathetic than they were now. So it's a hard one. Shall I invest £3 to vote for Jeremy Corbyn? Maybe I'll save that money. I'll be back with another postcard in a week's time, and I'll speak to you then.